After the Parkland school shooting, a new state law requires schools to put armed guards on campus. Districts are scrambling to find workable solutions by time school doors swing open in August. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the National Foundation for Transplants. Right now, hundreds of Tampa residents need an organ transplant they can't afford. You can join National Foundation for Transplants Operation Second Chance at transplants.org to learn how to help give someone a second chance at life.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sessingham. The news that 17 people, including young teenagers, had been gunned down in South Florida while going about their school day on Valentine's Day this year sent shocks of outrage, anguish, and calls to do something to prevent such a tragedy from happening again. One result is a new law that says schools must have someone carrying a gun, sometimes called a school resource officer, who could respond in the event of a shooter on campus. Schools were given latitude in the way they could implement the requirement. They've been working on it since Governor Scott signed the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Act into law in March. We've got a great panel of guests here today to talk about what this new law means for them in practical terms. Pasco County School Superintendent Kurt Browning. Kurt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Polk County School Superintendent Jackie Bird. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, thank you.
And by phone, Sarasota School Board Chair Bridget Ziegler. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Robin. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Kurt Browning, can you explain briefly what this new law says and what it's requiring of school districts in Florida as it pertains to the school guards?
The law gave us three options. One was we could hire SROs, school resource officers. Okay. Many districts are already doing that now at secondary level, middle and high school. The other option was what we've kind of called create your own police force, security force. The third option is the guardian plan, where you are arming district employees. And the law also says that you can do one of those three or any combination thereof. Mm-hmm. So Polk and Pasco have done any combination thereof.
Okay. Bridget Ziegler, this has not been easy or straightforward for Sarasota County. We're going to try to untangle the elements in Sarasota in a minute. But first, as of right now, as we're taping this show, the Sarasota School District is going forward with plans to create its own internal school district police force. Is that right?
That is correct. I know Sarasota County was a divided vote, and I was on the opposing side, to create a internal police department, and that this would be up and running within a 3-month period for phase one to have all the infrastructure and all the personnel hired to support our elementary schools, and then to continue with this SRO, the school resource program for middle and high schools, as the district ramped up the following year. So by year two, to have the internal police department by the school district managing all of our 52 schools.
Okay. And Jackie Bird, Polk County schools will be using resource officers who are school district employees. Is that right?
That's correct. With what we did, like Kirk told you, we had a combination of those options. And one of the things that we did was create a separate position for the schools that is a district position. When I say district, it's not going to be placed on a school-based roster because we want to make sure that those positions are separate and that that person that's going to be like our school safety guardian is what we're calling them. They solely are going to be there for safety only, not the day-to-day operations of the school like normal school staff will be doing. Their particular job is solely school safety.
Okay, so who's going to oversee the head of school safety?
Great question. We all have to hire a director of school safety specialist, which we have. That's part of the, as you heard Kurt talking about, some of the mandates that were in the bill that we have to have. That person will oversee our school safety guardians, as well as work with our school safety office that we have currently in our school system.
And who will oversee them?
We had a joint. We actually partnered with our sheriff's office with the hiring of them. So it was a partnership between our sheriff's office and our school district because they're going to go through that guardian training program, which is the sheriff's program. But ultimately, they report directly to me at this, not me per se, but their district level positions, which will be under us and not under the sheriff's office. The training is through them through the guardian program.
Okay, so let's unpack a little bit about what's happening in each of your districts. So, Kurt Browning, it sounds like the program in Pasco is similar to what's going on in Polk County. The school safety guards are school district employees trained by the sheriff's department. And one of the things that Pasco County is requiring is that they have 10 years experience in law enforcement or military.
Well, what we found is that the folks that applied, we opened the ad up for 3 days and we had 125 people apply for it. And what we found—
How many positions?
53.
Okay.
Plus the director of school safety and security. What we found was is that the minimum number of years of law enforcement or military experience that these folks had was 10 years, which was incredible. We have a stellar group of men and women that have stepped up. They're going through training now over the summer, and we'll be ready to go when school doors open in August.
So how much are you paying for these positions?
Well, that's obviously the decision on what direction we were going is driven by the amount of funding that we have available. What we're calling the school safety guard program in Pasco is costing us about $2.5 million, and that does not include the training costs. The training cost, we're still trying to work out with our sheriff about pulling down guardian money, which is in a separate pot, but it's going to cost us about $2.8 million.
Okay, so each position, how much are you paying a school guardian?
I think ours are running about $43,000. That includes salary, benefits. And then we're providing the uniforms, the guns, the handcuffs, tasers, all the equipment and stuff that they're going to need in addition to that.
So, Jackie Bird, that's quite a bit more than what the school guardians are getting paid in Polk County, correct?
Well, I think the key thing that you heard Kurt say, that includes, I believe it's including your insurance too with that package. Mm-hmm. And so ours is as well. The base pay is $30,000, but you have insurance on top of that, which would take you up into that salary range of right around 40-something thousand, because those are two separate, you know, insurance and then the actual take-home pay is what we did. But the actual take-home for us is $30,000 plus benefits.
I think a big selling point of doing it this way, which is why a lot of counties are, is because it is a lot more cost effective than hiring a sheriff's deputy for every one of your schools, which would be extremely expensive. Is that right, Jackie? That's
actually correct. And also, I don't know about in Pasco, but I know within Polk County, after talking with our sheriff and our local chiefs, they just didn't have enough SROs to fill those spots as well.
When we worked, Robin, with our sheriff, Chris Nocco, who's just been an incredible partner with us through this, it's costing the district about $61,000 for a contract. And those deputies go back on the road during the summer, other activities or other assignments when school's not in. But the sheriff picks up the salaries and benefits after school's out, plus a startup. There's the car, the computer, the gun, the uniforms, those kind of expenses. So we've heard estimates about $140,000, $45,000 just to put an SRO, not a school safety guard, but an SRO into the school the first year. Now that drops down
that
the next year.
That will drop down a lot after the training is all completed.
But the training is ongoing. I mean, obviously there's going to be recertification every so many years, I would imagine.
But not the 132 hours, which was required.
We don't know yet. I don't think that's really been addressed. It just says that they have to go through this 132 hours.
Still a lot of unknowns, but it sounds like you've got a pretty smooth working relationship with the sheriff of Pasco County, which brings me to Bridget. Bridget Ziegler, there has been a lot of drama in Sarasota County, a lot of conflict between the school district and the sheriff's department and even the county commission. Sarasota County had armed resource officers in the high schools.
Middle and high schools. And I'll say our sheriff, Tom Knight, has been a long-term partner with the school district for years.
Right. The sheriff had been going in 50-50, right, to pay for
mm-hmm.
the officers.
Yes.
And then when this new law kicked in and it became apparent that there was going to be funding available from the state, the sheriff's felt like the sheriff's department didn't want to pay for the school officers anymore. Is this all correct?
I wouldn't put it that way personally. I think that money has seemed to really take the cost of it, which there is a cost implication. I know that. I want to be fair to Sheriff Tom Knight, who was proactive in finding a way to provide us with an option that ultimately would be cost beneficial to the school district and secure all of our schools. So yes, historically there was a 50-50 split with the sheriff's office and the school district through the SRO program that we had previously. After Parkland, he had created what's called an SRD2 program, which was a lower cost deputy program that would be trained and managed under his agency that we could then deploy, and he would hire up, and the sheriff's office would take on those startup costs that were just recently addressed and put them into our elementary schools.
But ultimately, the school board voted to go with the internal, their own police force. Can you briefly say, you know, why was that decision made?
Well, I think it was a combination of a couple of things. I think the way it was presented was more by personnel costs. I know, again, the indirect cost of starting an internal police department, which has been one of my tremendous concerns, really hasn't been laid out and identified. I think what happened was it appeared to be a less expensive way to just provide the internal police department, but it was only reviewed on the personnel costs, and none of the indirect costs really have been vetted out and hashed out. So there has been a lot of back and forth overall with the community that there's just grave concerns that this school district, as they move forward towards this direction, that there's not really a clear understanding. And the biggest concern is that we don't get this right, certainly for the safety and for our students and staff, but in addition is the resources that we have with the sole focus of educating our students.
It does seem, just from reading the newspaper articles and the Sarasota Herald Tribune about this, it does seem like there's a lot of confusion. And why didn't Sarasota County want to create a program? It seems kind of straightforward program that Polk is doing, Pasco, and Hillsborough also, where the school guardians are under the school district.
I think that it really came down to lack of, I think you hit the nail on the head. What really put Sarasota in this path was just not clear communication. I could go on and opine about that, but I don't think that's fair. I think that there's just some poor communication and there wasn't clarity on which direction or what discussions were taking place. And then I think that is what led the majority of the board to support moving down this path as opposed to looking at all of the options, ensuring a positive relationship and partnership with our longstanding law enforcement officers that we've worked with for years, and that this just turned a corner in which that's the path, again, the majority of the board wanted to go. I want to add that it's encouraging to hear both Jackie and Kurt talk about that strong relationship and how they're working together with the Sheriff's Department. I thought it was really interesting. I know we have to work collaboratively with our partners, and so I'm very impressed to see that take place.
Well, Jackie Bird, Sheriff Grady Judd, has been very involved with this issue statewide.
Yes, and he's a great partner. You know, the sheriff and I have conversations frequently about, you know, the security and the safety of all of our schools. And as we worked and we teased this plan out, you know, it was one of the things that we felt like this was the best thing that we can do for our community and our students for their safety.
I'm Robin Sessingham, and you're listening to Florida Matters on WUSF 89.7. We're taking a short break, and we'll be right back. I'm Robin Sessingham, and this is Florida Matters. We're talking about school safety with Pasco County School Superintendent Kurt Browning, Polk County School Superintendent Jackie Bird, and by phone, Sarasota School Board Chairwoman Bridget Ziegler. I want to talk a little bit about teachers carrying guns, because that was a, you know, big point of contention for this whole thing. So there's the Coach Aaron Feist Guardian Program in honor of Coach Feist, who gave his life to save some students at Parkland at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas School. And that program would allow teachers to train in firearm safety and proficiency and volunteer to carry a gun in school. But the school district administration has to be on board with that plan. Hillsborough County officials have said they will not use that program to train teachers or support staff. They do not want to arm teachers or support staff in the schools. Where do you stand, Kurt Browning, on this issue?
Listen, if folks want to own guns, that's their business. I own guns myself. But I just did not see where the district was going to benefit from teachers being armed in our schools or other district employees for that matter. So I came out pretty early saying someone would really have to do some heavy convincing for me to want to arm teachers. There were two instances that I recall, one in Georgia where a classroom teacher had a firearm discharge, nobody was hurt. The second was in California. A teacher had a firearm and a gun in a classroom. It discharged. It injured a student. Thankfully, didn't kill the student. And it was almost like it drove my point home. Teachers teachers, school district employees have specific responsibilities, and that's to educate our kids. And I'm sure that many, if not all of them, would put themselves in harm's way to protect those kids. But under the provisions of this law, we're now able to have someone on our campus that's highly trained, and their sole purpose is to provide that safety and security on our campuses.
So is the position then of the school district in Polk and Pasco that even if a teacher volunteers to go through this training and wants to be part of this Coach Aaron Feist Guardian program, it's not allowed?
We're not doing it in Pasco.
No. And we've had some people, teachers that contacted us, some of our custodians, they want to go through the program, but that would mean leaving your current job, and that's what you're taking that job. We're not going to bridge the two.
And what's the position in Sarasota County, Bridget?
There has been no formal statement either way from the school district in Sarasota County. There was a request to potentially work with the sheriff on the Guardian program as a means to supplement whatever our final program was, but that was very early on and that has not occurred to date.
And I wonder if teachers have come forward in Pasco County to volunteer for this. We heard custodians in Polk have. Have you heard anything, Kurt?
We have had some teachers and again, plant managers, custodial staff that have come forward said, I'll go through the training. I get it. But again, I think that you can't have isolated pockets of this around the district. I just get very concerned about the liability. And not only that, but then my concern is that if you arm teachers and you have SWAT coming in from the sheriff's office, how do they distinguish the school employee from the gunman?
Well, don't you have that same concern with the school resource officer?
The school resource officer is in a sheriff's department uniform. The school safety guard will have a uniform that will be able to distinguish these folks that will say security guard across the back so that it will be distinguishable. I look like a math teacher, and I get in the hallway with a gun in my hand, and the SWAT team comes in, and they don't know that I'm the math teacher that's armed.
That's a good point. What about Jackie? Are you going to have uniforms for the guardians in the elementary schools also as well as
the— Yes, they do. The guardians do have uniforms. And one thing I kind of want to go back to when it comes to the staff, if they wanted to be a school safety guardian, that's a new job for them. That means they are leaving the current position they're in to go into the training and take that position. I want to be very clear with that, as we did have some custodians. You hear Kurt probably had some plant managers as well. But they're giving up their current position to go in there.
And that's what it is in Polk County, but not statewide. Each district can come up with their own regulations. And I just want to make a point that Sheriff Grady Judd, in an interview, made about this. He said he didn't think one was going to be enough. I mean, look at a huge public high schools with 3,000 people and say something happens in the band room and maybe the school resource officers over there back in the math department that's, you know, half a mile away. So he felt like kind of the more the better, that we're trained and ready to defend the students.
And I would agree with that. But again, unfortunately, it all comes down to resources.
Yes.
And the law requires that we have at least one of these school safety guards in our classrooms come start a school year. I'm concerned as well that when you have large high schools, I have a high school with 2,500, 2,600 kids in it, Wiregrass Ranch High School. Does one person adequately keep safety at that school? It comes down to resource and what's available. One of the options we have when we're looking at the SROs is the availability, as Superintendent Berta said, the availability of finding 53 SROs. I mean, law enforcement trained folks. We couldn't do it. The sheriff couldn't do it. So the route that we went collaboratively, as we partner together, is in the best interest of the students and the families we serve.
Yeah. Bridget,
if I can add to that, because that's been a major concern of mine and even our law enforcement partners as the school district, I've moved forward with this internal police department and the hiring of 24 school resource officers within the district in about a 2.5-3 month time frame. Again, the school district does not have yet the infrastructure. This is all new. And when you hear that, whether it be the school or the law enforcement agencies, they're all working hard to ensure that they are able to hire and train these individuals, the appropriate individuals, and that's been a major concern. I know that's not unique to Sarasota, but that's certainly across the board. And I think that point was well taken, and that's something we need to make sure that we're not just finding anyone who's applying. They have to be the correct person for that job.
Bridget, what are you hearing from parents? What kind of feedback are you getting from parents in the district?
I will say it's an overall major sense of concern. You know, at the end of the day, people just want us. We're elected in these positions or appointed, what have you, to find solutions. And what they don't want is a lot of talking and no action. I think that was very clear after Parkland. I had an opportunity to meet with some of the families whose children were victims at Parkland, and it just really puts the true gravity at the front of the decision making. And so I know that there's a lot of frustration. I equally am frustrated with what have you, whatever reason there's miscommunication. We had an emergency meeting. We are having another final one on the 28th, hoping that we can finalize some of our contracts and make sure that it's public so that everyone has a very clear understanding of where the district is and how we're going to be continuing to partner with law enforcement. And we will allow public comment because there are a lot of parents and families rightfully so concerned.
Jackie and Kurt, you were nodding your head about parents wanting action and not a lot of talk.
You know, Bridget's absolutely correct. After that, you know, as a parent, we all wonder what, you know, when we drop our students or our kids off, are they get off of the bus, are they going to be safe?
When the parents drop off their kids come this August, what will they see that's going to give them some sense of confidence or security, Kurt?
Well, I think that in Pasco schools, they already see in our middle and high schools That's the right. SROs. And I think that the Parkland situation actually, keep using the word amped up, but really refocused the tension, I think, on our sheriff and our SROs is making sure they are more visible, both at student entry, student exit in the afternoons, walking the campus, checking gates, making sure doors are locked, those kinds of things. And at the secondary level, really building relationships with kids, with our students. When parents come to school at elementary, they're going to see the school safety guards. They're going to see that presence. I think that presence provides some level of comfort to moms and dads, knowing there's a man or a woman on campus that's highly trained, has a gun on their hip, is in a uniform. I think it's psychological, and I do. And I don't mean to minimize that, but I do think that's a big part of what drives the decisions that are being made. So I think parents are going to see that, and I do think that that's an important piece. I will tell you that Pasco, talking about parents and parent involvement input, we held two town hall meetings. We had to listen to parents. We needed to listen to parents. And that was very insightful because it gave us an opportunity to clear up misperceptions about what they were expecting or what the law required or what they would see on their campuses. But it also gave us an insight, things like I had sent out an edict about locking doors before the school ended last year. Locked doors. And we had parents on campus that would walk into their child's classroom. And so they were telling me at this public meeting, I walked onto my campus. They knew I was there, but I walked down to my child's classroom and I walked into the classroom. It wasn't locked. So it was a good intel, good intel.
Okay.
And I want to add to that because I think that's an important component. Well, two things. I think absolutely the public and has to be a part of this conversation. I know we did virtual town halls, which we did get a lot of feedback, and we started an email, opened it up to community feedback. And what you found was that everyone wants to be part of the solution and bring forward different ideas. I think the component about the infrastructure, we are investing a lot, as many other districts are, to harden our schools and have single point of entry.
Right. And you kind of hit on another thing that I was trying to get at when I said, what are they going to see that's different? Are they going to see more fencing, metal detectors, a single point of entry trying to, you know, so a single point of entry means 2,500 kids trying to get in through the same door. Yeah. That's going to make long lines.
Well, and I was going to say, absolutely, and I think we had been in Sarasota County, had prioritized on our capital improvement plan, which is known as the CIP, for years. We included hardening our schools through that single point of entry, and we fast-tracked that and are doing a lot of work over the summer to ensure that each school has that single point of entry. Bulletproof glass is another thing that's been added. But there is definitely a change that's going to occur, and if it's a little bit of a disruption or inconvenience, it's a small price to pay when you're talking about the safety of our children. And I think that the community is absolutely supportive of that.
And Polk, when we look at some of our high schools, we're like, Kurt, we have high schools that have 2,500, almost 3,000 students in there and in those sprawled out buildings. There's just no way I can get a single point of entry at that point. But what we are doing to encourage people is those adults have to be visible when students are coming and going and changing classes. You have to have that visibility. Those gates have to be closed. I, too, like Kirk, when I send out, you know, make sure all the doors are locked, get fences are closed. I got pictures from parents telling me this gate is left open. And we tell them, if you see something, say something. We're telling the students, if you see something, say something. But, you know, when it comes to single point of entry, that's just one of the things that is it's hard to grab in high school. In elementary, it's a lot easier because you can funnel them all through one way when they come in, through either through two ways from the car riding, the bus loop. But when you have a 3,000 student high school, that's pretty difficult. I don't know about Kurt and Pascal.
Now they're walking, they're taking their bike, they're coming in bus, they're coming in car, they're coming in. Yeah, the buildings are all spread out. It'd be very difficult.
And I think school district, I know the Pasco district has forever and a day struggle with, do we want our schools to look like community schools, or do we, and I hate saying this using this term, but or do we want them to look like prisons? Mm-hmm. You know, people tell you, well, let's put fencing around. I got an estimate just for a price point. It was going to cost us $150,000 to put chain link fence around one school. I've got 90 schools. On top of that, if I want to get into a school, I can get into a school. I don't care how tall the fence is. You have single points of entry. You've got to have staff there. If you have metal detectors, you've got to have staff there. You think about TSA when you go through the airport. I mean, they just don't let you walk through. There's folks that are going to go through your bags, your backpacks.
And what do they do when they find something?
Yeah. You know, we are doing the very, very best we can with the resources that we have because we want to make sure that our kids are safe. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we want to make sure they're in a safe learning environment.
I want to ask, what will be the role of the guardians or the safety officers when it comes to other student disciplinary problems, when there's a fight or attack on a teacher or there's drugs? Will they be involved?
Obviously, our SROs, our school resource officers at our middles and highs, are already involved with all of those, all the above. This is new territory we're going down with elementary schools, and that's not to say there may not be drugs or certainly, you know, playground scuffles and those kind of things in the hallways. But we don't have the same types of issues manifest themselves in our elementary schools to the degree that they do in secondary schools. But we want our school safety guards to develop relationships with those kids, walk through classrooms, walk the halls. If there's a fight, break it up. Have a talk with these kids about what's the necessity of having – let's solve this problem other than with fists. So, again, some of these things are going to have to be determined as we go down this path because we've not been there before at the elementary school level.
Right. I think the key there is that if you look at if it's a classroom management issue with the teacher, that's not to involve a school safety guardian. That's not what they're there for.
Okay. But when it's a safety issue.
If it's a safety issue.
All things safety.
Yes.
That's Pasco County School Superintendent Kurt Browning, Polk County School Superintendent Jackie Bird, and by phone, Sarasota School Board Chairwoman Bridget Ziegler. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll keep the conversation going on our podcast, Florida Matters More. You can find the link on our website, WUSF.org, or search for it on your phone's podcast app. Also, we are taking comments for an upcoming show on what it's like for pedestrians or bicyclists around the Bay Area. Leave us a message by going to WUSF.org. Click on the orange button that says Start Recording. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. The engineer is Richard Jimenez. The producer is Stephanie Colombini. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.